You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano in this third week of July, 2023. We're a Christian legal ministry focusing on issues of religious liberty, freedom of conscience. We are hoping to help equip churches, Christian ministries, on how to remain faithful to their Christian mission in a culture that is too often disagreeing with our message. This radio broadcast and podcast hopes to help you prepare for the issues of our time, to have an answer for the faith that is within us. We feel that the church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. Our hope is to educate, encourage, support, and equip you on the issues of our day, and always approaching these issues from a biblical worldview. We'll turn to page one of the report. Could an alien deception be part of the end times? We know that the events surrounding the end times, as described in the Bible, include a powerful deception. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Recently, U.S. intelligence officials, both current and former, have reported that the U.S. has retrieved craft of non-human origin. A former intelligence official turned whistleblower has given Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. Intelligence officials, both active and retired, with knowledge of these programs through their work in various agencies, have independently provided similar, corroborating information, both on and off the record. But most recently, whistleblower David Charles Grush, age 36, a former decorated combat officer in Afghanistan, is a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the National Reconnaissance Office. He served as the reconnaissance office's representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2019 to 2021. Now, whistleblower Grush said that recoveries of partial fragments through and up to intact vehicles have been made for decades through the present day by the U.S. government, its allies, and defense contractors. Just this week, the House Oversight Committee announced that it will hold a hearing on unidentified aerial phenomenon. Representative Burkett, Republican of Tennessee, said the committee will hear testimony from three witnesses: David Grush, the former U.S. intelligence official, now whistleblower; David Franor, a former Navy commander; and Ryan Graves, a former Navy pilot. This to take place in the coming days in the House of Representatives in Congress. The hearing will be 10 a.m. next Wednesday. But back to the scripture, back to the issue of the day. We're looking at the end times, and could an alien deception be part of the end times? Recently, interest has been rising in the theory that this deception referenced in Scripture will include alien beings from another planet. Odd as this may seem, this theory is entirely plausible from a Christian perspective. Although the Bible gives us no information about whether or not aliens exist, for example, there's no mention of them in the creation account in Genesis, and no mention of them anywhere else in Scripture, the Bible does speak about visitors from another world. the spiritual world. Since the beginning, instances of demons, fallen angels, and the like visiting the earth have been witnessed and recorded in Scripture. We know that Eve had an encounter with Satan, and that demons are interested in monitoring, even altering, the progress of humanity. They want to be involved with the goal of drawing humanity away from the worship of God and turning mankind's attention instead to them. We see this again in Scripture in Genesis chapter 6 with the arrival of the so-called sons of God. The Genesis account states that these powerful beings interacted improperly, unlawfully with humanity and produced a race of Nephilim. It sounds like science fiction, but yes, right there in our Bible. And history records other cultures, ancient cultures, providing similar accounts of beings interacting with humanity. This interaction was a great deception that prompted the flood, Noah's flood. Could it be that the end times include a similar deception, an alien deception? The Bible doesn't directly address the issue, but it is certainly possible for a variety of reasons. First, the Bible tells us that the world will unite under the power of the Antichrist. Could an alien deception be part of the end times? First, let it be said that we here at the Religious Liberty Report do not believe that aliens exist. The Bible gives us no reason to believe that there is life elsewhere in the universe. In fact, the Bible gives us several key reasons why there cannot be. However, that has not stopped theologians, astronomers, science fiction writers contemplating the possibility of extraterrestrial life. All this brings up the issue of the identity and the work of Jesus, a form of Christology that will resolve the issue of extraterrestrial life or the possibility thereof. You see, God sent his only begotten Son to save mankind and redeem creation. Does that redemption include life on other planets? Or could it be that Jesus manifested himself on those other planets as well? I'm reminded of Aslan in the Narnia series, the C.S. Lewis series, Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Aslan is a type of Christ. Does only begotten mean only physical representation, or is it more limited, referring only to the human species? Considering all this, and considering what we know about space, life, and the world as the Bible portrays it, we already have an explanation for the so-called alien invasion. You see, reports of close encounters invariably describe ethereal, transient, deceptive, and malevolent beings. Accounts also record that encounters with these supposed aliens can be stopped by calling on the name of Jesus. Friends, everything points to the activity of demons, not extraterrestrials. In fact, it is likely that the powerful delusion that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, will involve some sort of alien abduction theory to try to explain away the rapture of the church. In the final analysis, the discovery of alien life would have no effect on genuine Christianity. The Bible stands as written, no matter what secular science advances or discoveries are claimed. The Bible says that the earth and mankind are unique in God's creation. God created the earth even before he created the sun, the moon, or the stars. See Genesis chapter 1. Yes, undoubtedly, there are strange, even inexplicable things taking place. There is no reason, though, to attribute these phenomena to aliens or extraterrestrials. And if they are alien and extraterrestrial, they are spiritual. Intradimensional would be more appropriate. To be clear, these encounters are to be deemed spiritual and more specifically demonic in origin. One biblical scholar put it this way: our biblical worldview doesn't expect alien life to exist. The Bible tells us Earth was formed to be inhabited, and that other celestial bodies were created for signs, seasons, days, and years. It was to Earth that Jesus came to save us, not to another planet to save another race of beings. In fact, the idea of extraterrestrial life stems largely from the wrong-headed theory of evolution. Recall that in the evolutionary view of creation, the Earth is just another planet, one where the conditions just so happened to be ripe for life, to form, and to evolve. In fact, evolutionary theory posits that there are countless billions of other planets in our galaxy, and even more beyond, and that surely, at least in a handful of those planets, those worlds, that they have to have also the right conditions for life, extraterrestrial life. For the evolutionist, extraterrestrial life is an almost inevitable result of the evolutionary worldview. But as we've said, the notion of alien life does not square with Scripture. The Earth is unique. God designed the Earth for life. The other planets have an entirely different purpose than does the Earth, and they are therefore designed differently. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that God created plants on the Earth on day 3, birds to fly in the atmosphere, and marine life to swim in the ocean on day 5, the animals to inhabit the land on day 6. And human beings also made on day 6 and given dominion over all of the earth. Where does the Bible discuss the creation of life on anywhere else than on earth or in the lights in the expanse of the heavens? Friends, there is no description of this in Scripture, because the lights in the expanse were not designed to accommodate life. You see, God gave care of the earth to man, but the heavens are the Lord's. Psalm 115, verse 16. From a biblical perspective, extraterrestrial life does not seem likely. Some wrong-headed theologians, so-called theologians, speak to the redemption of aliens, of ET life, as well as with humans. But when we consider Scripture and how the salvation plan might apply to these hypothetical ETs, we are presented with a very real problem. You see, these ETs would not be blood relatives of Jesus, and so Christ's shed blood could not pay for their sin. One might at first speculate that Christ also visited their worlds, lived there, and possibly died there as well. But friends, this too is anti-biblical. Scripture tells us that Christ died once for all. Jesus is now and forever both God and man. Nowhere are ET races or aliens referenced in Scripture. Others might suppose that these aliens, these ETs, never sinned and therefore would not need redemption. But this too is not scriptural. All of creation suffers the effects of sin. Adam's sin affected all of creation, not just mankind. See Romans chapter 8. It is clear in Scripture that the entirety of creation suffers under the bondage of sin. Other scholars argue what is called the Fermi paradox, and it goes something like this. Where is everybody? So far, no one has discovered life on other planets or even detected radio signals from intelligent aliens. Secular astronomers continue to search for extraterrestrial life, but find none. Their radio searches are met with silence. The real world is the biblical world, a world and a universe designed by God with the earth at its center, the spiritual focal point of creation. This doesn't stop secularists from asking, where is everybody? Since there are quite possibly billions of planets in our galaxy, and that some of these at least would have the right conditions for life to evolve, where is everybody? The universe should therefore have countless number of technologically superior civilizations, and one of which should have reached Earth by now. So, where is everybody? This problem is known as the Fermi paradox, after atomic scientist Enrico Fermi. In the 1990s, a television series called The X-Files entertained its fans with stories of aliens, government conspiracies. The motto of the show was, "The truth is out there." Yes, the truth is out there, and it's in Scripture, in the name of Christ, our Lord. Remember that we interpret evidence in light of our worldview. It is therefore crucial to have a correct biblical worldview. You see, false worldviews, naturalism, scientism, may lead someone to draw erroneous conclusions. But there are very real reasons why people seek and supposedly find aliens and ETs. You see, the discovery of intelligent extraterrestrial life would certainly be seen as a vindication for evolution. It's what one would expect from a naturalistic worldview. Also, the belief in ETs might resolve for the secularist a feeling of cosmic loneliness. If there are aliens out there, then somehow we would not be alone in the universe. For others, the search for ETs and extraterrestrial life might provide context for questions such as, why am I here? What is the meaning of life? In a very real way, the belief in extraterrestrial life could become a secular replacement for the Scripture, for the Gospel. God is the only one who can heal every disease. God is the only one in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are deposited. God is the only and single answer to the fundamental questions of our existence. God alone possesses the gift of eternal life. God created us for fellowship with Him. That's why we have a deep need for God in our lives. When we start with the Bible, we conclude, and it is clear, that the earth is a special creation. unique. And friends, the truth is not out there. The truth is in there, in the Bible. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. John 14:6. Some would say, what's the harm? What's the harm in believing in ETs? But there is a harm. There's nothing innocent about it. Lurking underneath are some deep theological dangers. A 2012 survey reported that more than a third of Americans believe aliens have visited the Earth. And it's no secret that the notion of ETs is permeating our society. Given all this, should Christians care? Does the Bible have anything to say? Some would even think that the Bible references alien visitations. Let me assure you, brothers and sisters, that it does not. ETs and flying saucers are not in Scripture. However, biblical principles can help us identify and address the issues of flying saucers and ETs. This is not a trivial question. The question is still very much on the table. Even if ETs are not real, then what do we make of the numerous unexplained UFO sightings, especially since now they're coming into focus in the mainstream media? We mentioned earlier that just next week, the House of Representatives will hold special hearings on unidentified aerial phenomena. This is not to discount the many sightings, the numerous unexplained sightings. But we can be sure of this. Satanic deception is at play. And as we've seen in this report, in this third week of July 2023, the issue of alien life really stems from the false theory of evolution and reject the authority of Scripture. We've seen that alien life conflicts with the teachings of Scripture. The reality of ETs, to many secularists and atheists, disprove the Bible. Given that so many are being turned away from Scripture in their belief in alien life, this further raises the likelihood of satanic deception relating to the ET phenomenon. This is not just frivolous fiction, brothers and sisters. We are dealing with an issue that can have very real, eternal ramifications. There is no scriptural basis for space aliens. God outlined in Scripture both the past and the future, and clearly reveals that He created life on Earth. The fact that ETs are not mentioned anywhere in Scripture is significant. And if they are, they are the fallen angels, the Nephilim, demonic spirits. In fact, Scripture mentions angels about 300 times, using references such as cherubim, heavenly hosts, sons of God. But we know that the earth and mankind, humans, have always been and will always be in the center stage of God's creation. Everything in creation was made for purposes relating to earth and to mankind. As we stated earlier, the sun, the moon, and the stars were made for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Former President Barack Obama weighed in on the subject saying, quote, what is true is that there's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they move, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern. former President Barack Obama. Current Senator, Florida Senator Marco Rubio recently came out on the subject saying that there is stuff flying in our airspace. We don't know what it is. We need to find out. I'm going off what military men and their radars and their eyesight is telling them. We need really some hard evidence, extraordinary evidence, because this would be one of the most extraordinary claims ever if it was true. From a theological perspective, this is not really a new subject, as about half a century ago, one scholar, J. Edgar Burns, identified and proposed what he called an evolving understanding of our relationship to the cosmos. He saw a new space faith developing, and he called it cosmolatry. He coined a new term, exo-Christology, for theological conversations about how discoveries of extraterrestrials might affect our theology of Christ. We've been discussing end times and the strong delusion that will affect mankind and make them believe a lie. Secular astronomy discovering exoplanets, so-called Earth-like planets, in outer space. And they ask, could intelligent life be living on some of those planets? We've discussed the Fermi paradox. Where is everyone? All this, the subject of much scientific speculation and, of course, science fiction. And now, in politics, the House of Representatives to take up the issue next week. While we haven't yet detected signs of alien life, what would such a discovery mean for Christians if it were to occur? Well, we've already identified that these aren't ETs at all. Rather than extraterrestrial, they're extra-dimensional, a spiritual phenomenon. Messengers of deception, lights in the sky. But what we're really dealing with here is interdimensional beings. Friends, don't be deceived. We will continue to follow this issue and the subject on the Religious Liberty Report in the days and weeks to come. Lord, we're overwhelmed by the seriousness of this issue, of this deception, this end times deception. Thank you, Lord, that your word opens our eyes. We understand why, and it is so incredibly helpful. We're blessed. We're blessed in having the scripture, the Bible, provide true illumination and guide us towards real truth. The truth is not out there. The truth is in your word. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give your church power in the midst of this end times deception. May your church be purified by it. May the false run and flee. May the church that is true and genuine be redeemed and be known for its faithfulness in proclaiming the gospel. We end with this, as we usually do. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report in this third week of July 2023, addressing the issues of our time from a biblical worldview. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries.